So Alex won the homegrown restaurant of the year was a cinema.
Back in the UK.
Back in the UK. What's on? Homegrown restaurant of the year in Dubai 2024 goes to Odeon in the UK.
Yeah.
What's up, Just Foodies? Well, this isn't actually Just Food DXB.
That's right. Guys and girls, welcome to a new food podcast hosted by me, Taryn, and my co-host, Alex, where we take you on an unfiltered, unapologetic tour of the food culture here in Dubai. And sometimes we'll go beyond.
It's called Savage Appetites, and we're aiming to serve up a heaping plate of anything and everything food-related. Plus, maybe we'll chat about the things we're not supposed to talk about.
So, if you're in the mood to listen to us waffle on, or you're just a foodie at heart looking to add another podcast to your list, then join us.
And it's even available in a visual format too. Savage Appetites, unfiltered foodie conversations.
Yay, that's sick.
Hello guys, welcome back to Savage Appetites, episode 7.
I've lost track.
It's episode 7, it's episode 7. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone who is fasting. And yes.
Will they be fasting once that when they listen to this?
This will be, I think it's the second week of Ramadan now.
If you're listening to this and it's Ramadan and you're fasting, I've got one thing to say for you. I'm sorry, because we're about to make you extremely hungry.
Exactly.
Talking about lots of delicious food. But at least you know when you break your fast, you know exactly where you need to go.
Exactly.
Straight away.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Anyway, buddy, how you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've had a lot of work on, like some big, big clients, and it's super, super stressful. But as of 5:45 today, I will be finished by one, which has taken up 99% of my brain
power.
It
has, because you can look at our social medias. There's been no reels, because that is the real, he is the real responsibility man. And every day I ask him, well, how's them reels coming? He's like, oh, I'm just so busy. I'm like, bro.
He says this, right? He says this. Your boy dropped the Hammer of the Gods like 15 videos yesterday, and he didn't even know what to do with himself. So from now on,
put them all in the bin.
From now on, Savage Appetites is going to be real city.
Real city, baby.
There's going to be so many reels, you're not even going to know what to watch.
We do. We need more than 4 listeners, that's why.
Yeah. Mum, dad, you wait for these reels.
Uncle.
I'm trying to think the last time we saw you.
Last week we saw each other. We had a little chat, blah, 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 blah. But I want to know, have you been anywhere since? I think last time we spoke, you had the brain. You were talking about all the brain stuff.
Yes.
So since then, have you been anywhere?
Well, we went to one place that Mr. Taron was invited to that he couldn't make.
I couldn't make a fortune.
Because he was doing the Zoom calls.
Zoom calls, no. I was designing, mate. Changing the world. Changing the world, making brands happen.
That's typewriter. For those who listen, that's me and a typewriter. So Reza, my friend, took me down to Iranish. Bustle 51, near Orf Ali Bros, new Iranian restaurant. Now, the reason this one is so exciting is all the Iranian restaurants, they pretty much make the same thing. Kebab, rice.
Right.
Not racist.
Delicious.
They're just saying the variety of Iranian dishes.
My favorite type of Iranian food.
Yeah, they don't diversify that much. However, Iranish is shaking up the market.
Is this South Iranian food? Is that
I don't actually know.
Fair, okay.
I don't know. So Iranish is home to one of my all-star top dishes in Dubai. Not just Persian, all-star dishes.
Also, yeah, you only give that to a few.
Yeah, yeah. This is going up with like Penelope's fusion ceviche. It's like, it goes up there.
This is the one.
Leela's ribeye steak from Leela's Taqueria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pitfire pizzas will always have a spot up there.
Yeah.
Peppers from
this
my chicken burgers.
Hall of Fame.
These are Hall of Famers. Yeah. Like,
this needs to go on the drool wall, which will bring
This is going
back.
On. This is going on. Dish is called Gadan, which is 7-hour slow braised lamb neck. They take it out and then they put it in the jasper, the like flame grilled like salamander, get it extra smoky. And he brings it to the table and he just gets 2 spoons. He might as well just use plastic spoons. It's that tender. And he just separates it up, removes the marrow, removes the bone, and then he gets caramelized onion and garlic. So the lamb is just salt and lamb.
That's
all it is. And then this caramelized onion garlic, and they spread it on top. It's so good.
Talk to me.
I had it one time.
Is it on a bed of rice?
It's on a bed of rice, Iranian rice as well. So it's shorter grain.
Yeah.
Really, really fluffy. But it's just like, it's so hearty and like the meat.
The level of lamminess. Because not everyone likes lamb, because I think it's a bit gamey for them.
It's not gamey at all. Yeah. I think with the caramelized onions and the garlic on there, you're just getting like salty umami. You're getting sweetness.
Do you eat it with bread as well?
You have it, with fresh Barbary bread that they bake in house. So it's just, mate, it bangs that dish.
Sick.
But that's not what we came for.
Okay.
We came for a new dish.
Oh.
A dish you cannot find anywhere else in this city.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I heard this, I was excited. Okay. Go in there. Dish is called luti polo.
Oh, yes, yes.
Luti polo. So yeah, basically polo, what they do is they take a big pot of rice. They usually use like leftover rice. It's normally consumed like at homes, leftover. So get the rice, crack an egg in it, put butter in it. Then they take the grilled tomatoes from like the kebab plate and they squish them all up into it.
Okay. Now
then they take the kebab meat, like kubide and the kebab, they squeeze all the juice from the meat and then they cut, like they pull the meat up. And
so it's like almost like minced meat back onto it.
Then you get the chili peppers off the grill plate, pull them up, put them there. Then they put the lid on
right now.
Shake it.
Yeah.
And literally butter is just pouring out the bottom of it. Like
squirting.
If your shoes are not covered in butter by the end of this, ain't doing it right, ladies and gentlemen. So they pop it open. It doesn't look appealing. It's rice, okay? You open it up. I'm like...
It's like a mix of stuff.
It was a bit of an anticlimax when you open this lid. I don't know what I was expecting to say. rice in, got rice out. But then I had it. Oh,
it sounds filthy.
It's like salty, meaty, spicy. It's acidic from the tomato. It's buttery.
Wow. So is this the 5-star big top one, or was the other one?
Gardin was, that's the all-star dish for me. Because I think anyone can go in there, they're going to enjoy this. This is like a very traditional Iranian dish. Mate, and the best thing, so you go in there, you have all the kebab out of it, you have the chili out of it, and it's just like rice left over. You're like, oh, there's rice.
Yeah.
What does he do? Goes and gets more tomatoes, more kubide. Kebab. Oh, he just bang.
This is non-stop.
I don't know why I'm doing that hand gesture. He wasn't doing that. Chucking it in. The chef's...
that was you when you got home.
Yeah, exactly. Chef Arhani's got like proper Iranian, like mustache, doesn't speak English.
Oh, wow.
Mate, the whole experience was just class. I was...
And then are you going to make a post about this?
Oh, yeah. Post is going out tomorrow. Yeah, so you'll be able to see this. If you listen to it, you know it's legit.
So that means, so they would actually...
They'll be out by now.
Yeah, it'll be all right by now. Yeah.
Mate, it's class. I'm taking you there.
Yes!
You're going to love it.
Okay, great. I love it. I love it.
What
I love
about
it.
You? Have you been anywhere?
I had one of your ultimate favorites.
Oh, yeah.
San Juan noodles, my friend. Now, I'm not going to give my full verdict, my full opinion, because I had very high expectation because I am sitting in front of the man who
hyped the hell out of it.
Hyped the hell out of it. Every episode, you know, we always talk about San Juan noodles. We take the piss out of San Juan noodles. It is, for me, I need to. I'm going to reserve judgment.
Yeah,
because I need to eat it in Seoul. Reason being, I ordered. What did I order?
Cumin lamb noodles.
Cumin lamb noodles.
Wontons.
Wontons, and the cumin lamb burger.
Oh, the burger.
The burger.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably a
bun,
word.
Yeah.
The bun. Yeah. Wontons. Delectable. Delicious.
Yeah.
You can tell they're handmade.
Oh yeah.
The kind of wrapping of the kind of wonton is fantastic.
Yeah.
The flavors are great. Nice bit of spice to it. It is a bit spicy. I actually enjoyed it when it's
a bit
spicy. Lovely. Burger, fine. Bit dry. It is what it is.
Not my order, that.
Yeah, fine. I just wanted to try it, though.
Yeah.
But the cumin lamb noodles were going to be the kind of, okay, here we go. This is what I'm going to have.
And then
right?
The thick biang biang noodles.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm thinking.
Yeah. I know where this is going.
Obviously, they come, the noodles come separately, and then the lamb and the, it's like almost a bit more brothy sauce. It's not really like a thick,
it's not dry sauce. Is it?
It's not, no. It's like more of a brothy sauce as opposed to maybe like a gravy per se. But obviously the experience of eating that, obviously because it's been delivered, those noodles, because they're thin and fat and wide, they clump together. So there's that, and that's unavoidable for any restaurant doing it. They can't prevent that from happening. So when I had to like mix it with the lamb, it just
couldn't even mix because it's just one big solid mess.
So you can't really enjoy the flavors as much. You can't enjoy it as it's meant to be. So I think I'm going to reserve judgment. I think everything else I had was fantastic. That lamb thing was a bit, I just couldn't really.
I don't ever order it. Like when I go like wontons, I'll just order like 400 portion of wontons.
Yeah.
The bok choy, it's just bok choy, steamed and then they put it in with like a chicken stock. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Completely agree with you. On delivery, I normally get the wonton noodle soup just because it travels better.
Yeah.
I love the cumin lamb noodles when I go in and have it, but I never ordered in delivery because for that exact reason. So, Hani, if you listen, which I know you are because you messaged me this morning.
Oh, love it. Hello, mate.
We need to figure out what we're doing, Hani. I don't know whether you can put some oil on the noodles. I think he already does. But me and you will go in. We'll have it fresh.
Yeah, and I think it will change my perception because everything else sounds delicious. I just really wanted those cumin lamb noodles, and it's just when I got it, and I was like, yeah, fuck this.
Yeah.
I was like, I had nothing to. I have no qualms on
the fried rice.
Yeah.
Right on a hangover. Bah.
Does it?
Oh, mate. Because even a small portion is like really filling. You get the large portion, you'll be at it for hours.
I can't get it because where I live, It's not in the catchment area.
Oh, what? So you're literally far catchment area. And
but then the reason when I got it, I went to Jacko's, our friend Jacko's, who lives in Springs at the time. So yeah, anyway, that's, I had one little one.
Speaking of,
I've got two little ones.
Oh, you got two? Okay, yeah. Cool. I'll go back to me.
Just on the whole patty and bun,
yep,
thing.
How we getting there?
Yeah, it's launched now, so you can go and get it from Deliveroo. I've not tried it yet.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go try it. They actually messaged Savage Appetites.
No, they didn't.
They did only because I messaged them saying, yo. What are you saying? Like, I've been talking about you guys for a lot, man. Like, what are you saying? And they were like, oh, available on Deliveroo. They're going to open a thing in Box Park.
Okay.
And the brick and mortar one come later. Anyway, they sent a lot of posts saying like they're open.
Okay.
Right? Cool. So I will order.
I'll come down with you.
Yeah? Well, but this doesn't exist yet. You can order it right now.
Cloud sorry, Patty and Bun. Your boy only does dine in. So when you have dine in, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to give my humble opinion. And then we go from that. And the last thing as well, just an update on that Sailor's Fish and Chips place.
Yeah.
I remember I spoke about
Dubai Hills.
Yeah. And we talked about it was quite expensive at the start, 125 dirhams. Mm. I'd realized actually that was their kind of like soft launch, just kind of like they had a limited menu. Mm. Now they have a wider menu. Prices are way more competitive.
Oh, really?
I said competitive. The prices are way more reasonable now. Even though I don't think they're that non-reasonable.
Yeah.
Now I think they're a bit more reasonable. So like that cod and chips I bought last time, it was like 125 dirhams. It's now 85 dirhams.
That makes no sense. Why would you soft launch with more expensive prices?
I don't know.
Maybe volumes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're probably
ordering
in more fish.
Yeah, exactly. Now. So now they have a wider menu. Go check them out. Enjoy. See what you like. I think they're very good. So yeah, anyway, Sailors.
That's the name of a bar down in Newquay I used to go to.
Did it? You're all sailors down there, aren't you?
Yeah,
little jigged.
A little bit. Did no damage. So I got invited by a client to come down. They were like, Chinese client, Chinese restaurant, downtown,
yes,
Chinatown, right?
I really, okay? really want to go to this restaurant.
They own the dim sum place, which I went to. I'm not a big fan of dim sum at all. It just like, it's like a meat and testes. I don't like it, okay? I'll be upfront about it. This is an honest podcast.
Because you're used to that.
The beef noodle soup is good. Yeah. I rated that. That's why if I said, go there, order that.
Yeah.
However, she said, best duck in Dubai. Now, every client comes to me, says it's the best or whatever. Yeah. I normally regurgitate that, which I know a lot of you hate.
Yeah.
Best duck in Dubai. I was like, I'll go down and see what it's saying. So we get there. Food's already, a couple of dishes already prepared, which I hate. You have to prepare fresh for me. I really hate it when I get there. The food's already prepared for me.
God, guys, so she goes, King Alex.
She goes, the duck takes a while to cook. Duck's going to cook. Enjoy these dishes in the meantime. So one of them, so it's Szechuan food. So it's really, really like spicy.
Numbing, Szechuan
peppery,
spice.
Yeah,
very pepper.
Szechuan tilapia. I never order fish.
Yeah.
I'm not a fish guy, okay?
I'm not a massive fish guy.
Have this. Oh my God. The fish is like just creamy, just melts. No fishy flavor, really, really subtle. You're just getting like the protein, the meaty. Really good quality. The rest of the sauce, the Szechuan, just numbing. Like my whole face is numb. I'm literally in ecstasy. I'm loving it. They had Szechuan tofu. Not a big fan of tofu. This one bangs. Shredded potatoes.
Shredded potatoes? What, like how?
Shredded potatoes with Szechuan peppercorns
fried?
In there. They steam, I think, wok in the wok.
Oh,
maybe.
Okay. Nice.
So I go into the kitchen. I'm going to go in the kitchen. You go in there. I've seen a few woks in my time, right?
Yeah.
This guy.
I saw the story. This guy
is a lunatic.
Cheese, yeah.
He's like.
Yeah, he's like, got the biggest wok.
I'm like watching him, like, is he all right?
Yeah.
Literally, he's like, the fire's going.
It's like, when he was doing that, when I saw, like, the whatever he was cooking in there, rice, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It was like, literally,
mate, he's
a meter out of the wok. He's like flicking it
and
up.
And he's actually, that's done, bang. Washing, redoing it again.
Yeah,
really, really good. So we had that. And I had the Szechuan dish. I'm like, this is really good. When we go into the kitchen, the tilapia is swimming in the bloody fish tank. They've got like those big fish tanks in the kitchen. So all the seafood is like fresh in there.
Holy.
So I'm like, all right, these guys mean business. And then she was like, this duck chef, she's like, we tried Hutong, Demon Duck, Kwanju. We tried every duck.
Yeah.
She was like, our duck chef is like one of the best in China. We brought him over.
All right. There's a lot of people in China.
Big claims, right?
There's a lot of people in China. Lots of people.
He's the best in like 3 billion people. Yeah, big exactly. claims. Probably didn't. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
This guy should have a Nobel Peace Prize. That's if he's coming from here. But yeah.
The best duck chef in the whole of China. Yeah. It's in Chinatown, Dubai Mall. That really tickled me. So it was an honor to meet him.
Yeah,
really
exactly. Number one dog chef in China.
I didn't even think
fucking hell. Oh,
it's been so, it's that is time special. In Dubai.
Yeah.
So anyway, we go in. He brings the duck out. Look beautiful, like orange brown.
It did look fantastic.
And as soon as he takes the first slice of the skin off,
yeah,
like there's juices coming out of this. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then they do the duck skin. You dip it in the salt.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Then he cuts this thing open. And as he pours it, just juice like everywhere.
We got a squirter.
It's so succulent. Like, and as soon as he slices it, you have it with the pancakes and the hoisin sauce.
Yeah.
Just the duck, crispy but succulent. And then they take all the bones and then they made this massive vat of duck soup.
Oh.
Duck soup was class. Like,
oh, so they take that,
yeah,
those bones.
Yes, yeah, so you get the skin, you get the duck, and then you get the whole duck broth.
Oh, so they actually
all included. Yeah. So like,
I thought they just take that way and make broth, and then they sell it separately.
No. They're like, do you want? I think they said, do you want fried rice or do you want broth? I said broth, and they made this broth. Incredible. So
wow. Okay.
I really rated it. I stand by it. It's probably the best Chinese restaurant I've been to in the last.
What's the name
months.
Again?
Xuan Chang Yu Jing.
That's so bad. Don't mind if I say it again.
Zhang Jin.
Okay. Go to Just Food's page. It was on there. I've seen it. You posted it. It looks amazing. Number one chef in China out of 3 billion people. He's here in Dubai Mall.
Get
just
him
cooking
before he goes back.
Cooking outdoors. What's the price point of this place, by the way?
So the duck is $450. You have to book in advance.
$450, but it's not for one person.
It's like 3-4 people. And then you order the other dishes a reasonably priced. But like, made the quality is really good. I'm going to take a food group down there soon because I think it's like up there with better than International City.
Food group, we should post our little competition winners,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. All right, nice. I love that. I really want to go. I love Chinese food. So, okay. Right. I think we can talk about what's been happening recently.
Yeah.
Now, the other night, which was 2 weeks ago.
We could talk about what's on in Dubai.
Oh, see, here that? We go. Segway.
Segway King.
Alex wants to talk about what's on restaurant awards. So they happened, when you listened to this, 2 weeks ago, I think. Was it two? Yeah, about two or three weeks ago. A bit of a rain delay. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was like torrential rain.
That's so bad. I feel bad for the guys.
I just don't like all the electricity, lights and everything. Like, fair play to them for pulling that off.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
award for best AV company goes to. That's what they should have done.
Exactly. But I think obviously, you know, a lot of people follow what's on. So I think it's good to probably talk about who won.
Yeah, big
your
winners.
Opinion.
Biggest winners, biggest losers. They announced.
I have a list.
They've got one thing I will say, and I said, what's on? Look, your boy used to sell some awards tables back in the day, all right?
Yeah.
I know the game.
Back in the day. Okay. In the olden days, before Just Food.
Yeah. Let's condense a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? How many winners are there? How many categories? Best man with brown hair under six foot four.
Yeah, I take that spot.
You know what I mean?
Much.
This one,
best napkin on the table.
Best napkin on the table. I mean, that one, we all know where that is.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, exactly. I
mean, that was a given.
So I would tell the Watson, I'm like, you motherfucker. Sorry, we're just having fun. We love you guys.
It's Don Watson.
No. He's moved on. You don't mention any names. Anyway, okay, fine. But let's talk about kind of the kind of standouts, right?
Yeah.
I think Editor's Choice. The first one here I've got is Editor's Choice, right? Which is one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah.
Kanoya. Restaurant of the year is Kanoya.
What I would say is, why is it restaurant of this year? It's been open for how many years now? 2 years?
No, that's true.
What made them do it this year? Like, you should have given this award when it first opened. I don't think Kanoya's changed since.
I think maybe you have to be established X amount of years, because then the first year might be the best newcomer, for example. I don't know.
I think it's well deserved. Best, hold on, what's the Editor's Choice? Well, it's the Editor's Choice. We can't argue with that.
Yeah,
I think it's well deserved. It's a great restaurant.
I think all of the main winners are Editor's Choices.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with
that
someone.
Editor's like claiming all the glory.
I'll find out, and I don't mind giving this out on the podcast. But I will find out the way Time Out does it compared to how What's On does it.
Yeah.
There are different measures of how they judge. So
I wonder
what as well. So I'll find out exactly, because I don't want to say it, because I might screw it up the wrong way around, and then I'm like, you mother.
Yeah, they will literally.
Anyway, restaurant year Kanoya, I think it's well deserved.
Yes.
I don't know about it. It says newcomer of the year, Shezwam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shezwam, that's the one next to Tracing Studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm struggling to think of newcomers this year.
Yeah.
I think Shezwam's deserving. Yeah, it's a really good restaurant.
Fair enough.
It's a good vibe.
Chef of the Year, which is the one restaurant I really, really want to go.
Jun's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calvin Chung.
Mankanita driver. Off. I've said it a million times.
Oh, is he? Is
he's
he,
the
he,
guy. Yeah, he's a big golfer. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like 300 bombed, like at Maiden.
Go on,
he ended up on the four ball. Yeah.
Oh, did
he?
You?
Is the best chef of the year because he can hit a 300 yard drive.
There
how
we go.
That?
That's what
the criteria.
Yeah, I really want to go to Zhong's. I'm really excited to go to Zhong's. I might actually go this weekend.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, fair play. I can't justify that because I've not had food.
He's the one where I was saying, you know, with the carrots, tastes like cheese cream.
There's so many. And I keep seeing it now. And I keep seeing it on people's social media. And I asked them, how was your meal? Did you enjoy it? And they're like, this is like amazing quality.
Oh, good.
Everyone's raving about it.
Okay, well.
We actually spoke about this on the last podcast about top 50. I think we did anyway. Culinary experience of the year. Row on 45.
Still never.
We've never. I mean, maybe it's a bit too highbrow.
You
for
go.
Us.
It's too highbrow for me.
Well, you'll be. I must. I'll put it on the Savage Appetites card.
Yeah,
which is my card. but anyway, yeah. Leela's Woodfire Takeaway won an award. Sustainable Restaurant of the Year.
Oh God. Out of all the things you could have given her,
yeah,
award for
Sustainable Restaurant of the Year,
Best Taco Award.
Yeah,
best. Just 400 gram wood-fired ribeye steak.
Best of the best. Homegrown restaurant of the year, Odeon.
See, I thought this was Odeon Cinema, and I literally, I'm sorry, you know what it is? It's all a scam.
If you don't know, Odeon is a, I don't think they exist anymore, or they might do. It's a cinema branch in the UK.
I got confused with Vox. I thought Odeon was over here.
Oh, this guy's a fucking idiot. No. Like, Odeon is a UK cinema company. I don't know if they exist in the UK anymore. Anyway, so Alex won the homegrown restaurant of the year was a cinema. Back in the UK. What's on? Homegrown restaurant of the year in Dubai 2024 goes to Odeon in the UK.
Yeah. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse and know all the best places, follow your boy Justin. He clearly knows what he's talking about.
Look, there's plenty more winners that night. I guess some well deserved.
Penelope. Vijay, back on there.
I'm kind of just flicking
Latin
through
America
now.
Award, just call it the Penelope Award and just give it to her every year from now until
Nobel,
the end of time.
Nobel Prize, but it'd be like the Penelope
Award.
I'm just scrolling through now because we won't go through it in details. If you want to go on the website, you'll find out. But the main won an award for the favourite brasserie. I love the main restaurant. Fair enough.
Well,
the
main got that.
Yeah, the mainland brasserie. Got
mainland brasserie?
Yeah.
The main
land brasserie,
okay,
yeah. Got the favourite brasserie. I mean, how many are
there? Kukle. Yeah, I don't know. I'd give that to Kukle. Now, Maine is pretty sick. But Kukle is well-deserved. I think it got an honourable mention.
Yeah, highly commended.
Honourable mention.
Favourite brunch? A la carte, c'est la vie. Fine.
Never been there.
I've been there for drinks. It's a nice spot, but whatever.
Saying that, though, brunches, how many brunches there must be?
Yeah.
People always ask me best brunches, so now there you go, c'est la vie. Well done.
Yeah, c'est la vie. But favourite brunch for the buffet, that one's a la carte, so this one's buffet, was the London Social Garden. Actually, I've been to this one many, many years ago, and that actually is a solid brunch.
Best buffet. What, compared to the one at the Atlantis? The one that everyone goes there when they first come to
Saffron.
Come on.
No, but this London one is actually good.
The Westin.
Bubblicious.
Bubblicious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, London Social. I'm going to have to come in there and see it for myself.
Try it. Yeah. It's not. I remember it being not bad, but it's been many years.
I went to Bubblicious the other week and it's got even better.
Did you?
Mate, it's insane. The roast dinner section is like completely.
Which is the one I went to? I went to Mina Salam one.
Yeah. Mina's Kitchen.
No.
Yeah. Mina Salam. That's it. Westin.
Maybe not then. Which one did I go to? I went to one recently and they had Beef Wellington apart there.
Yeah, that's it. That's the same one.
Is it?
Yeah, you've got, I forget, it's like called like Cara's or Cava's or something. The steakhouse on the left, and then you've got the main.
Maybe them.
And then you've got the Asian part on the right.
No, this is one solo. Oh, anyway.
Honestly, the Beef Wellington. I had the Beef Wellington. I had the roast dinner from that Westin brunch.
Yeah.
Publicious. My God.
Right, I'm going to run through these. Favorite Indian restaurant, Trace and Studio. Favorite Italian restaurant, El Borro.
Never been by her, great things.
I really want to go El Borro. Every time I book El Borro, something happens where I can't go, which pisses me off. Favorite Japanese restaurant, which I really want to go as well. Mima Kakushi, I've spoken about that before.
Hold on. Best Japanese restaurant.
Yeah, favorite Japanese restaurant. Mima.
Because I'm thinking like Takahisa. You got like Takahisa in Caesars, which is like as Japanese as it gets.
Well, this Mimi Kakushi one, I've heard so many fantastic things about this in terms of experience.
It's been around for years, though,
hasn't it? No.
Is it not?
No.
Sorry, Mimi Kakushi.
Wrong one.
Take it back.
Yeah. This is relatively new. Okay, it's not. Good. I mean, it's not new, but it's relatively new. It's not not really around for that long. Favorite Latin American restaurant? Fusion Ceviche. Won that.
Come on, Penelope.
Fair play. Favorite Mediterranean restaurant? I cannot pronounce. Oh, it's Milos in Dubai, Atlantis the Royal.
Have you been there?
No. There was shouts to go in there. This week because one of our friends in town.
Ah, yeah, I heard about that.
But that menu is quite expensive.
Ooh, very the Savage Appetites card can't take that one, ladies and gentlemen.
There was mixed veg for 140 dirhams.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
140 dirhams. What's that in UK money? £35 for some mixed vegetables?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Sounds fair. Doesn't that sound fair? Yes,
look, I can't judge. I've not been there. People like to go there. I'm sure it's excellent quality food.
I hear it's the best plate of mixed vegetables you're ever going to have in your life.
How?
Is that an award? Best mixed vegetables award?
Wait. Yes. Best mixed vegetables. Milos Dubai.
Well done, Milos.
100 dirhams. Well done, boys. There's plenty.
I think, you know, I had a scan through them. The people that I expected to win won. Yeah. Like, I wanted to see Leela's on there. I wanted to see Juns. I wanted to see Kelvin on there. I wanted to see Penelope.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fine dining restaurants, I'm not an expert in.
Yeah.
But all the names that I've heard Reza and the guys talk about were all on there. I would just say condensed categories. I know you want loads of winners.
Sponsorships.
I know, sponsorship tables. I get it. You know, your boy used to hustle some tables in his time. But, like, you know, we don't want to know the best
napkin,
the best brunch between 200 and 211.
Yeah, they
dirhams.
Do categories as well.
It's getting a bit much now. Condensed. But what's on? Well done. You pull through in the weather.
Fair play.
Keep doing what you do.
I talk about different restaurants in Dubai. Have you seen the new latest episode from Somebody Feed Phil?
Yeah.
Now, Somebody Feed Phil, I've watched on Netflix. I think this is season 7 now.
So you love him, right?
I think he's bloody adorable. He's a bloody adorable man, and he's a bit quirky. He doesn't take himself too serious.
Yeah.
I think the show, the production of the show is great.
Oh, epic.
I think it's a really good, wholesome, fun, enjoyable watch.
Yeah.
You can sit down, watch any of those episodes, and you get to have a good insight in terms of that city.
Yeah.
He does go to some great spots. Obviously, I can't justify for every city because I'm not been to every city.
Yeah.
But new series came out recently, and one of the episodes was Dubai. I mean, you have both watched it.
Yeah.
First of all, what do you think about our lovely Feed Phil as a person?
Look, I'm going to preface this.
Okay.
Anything I say negative about him is just because I'm mad jealous of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he's basically doing my dream job.
Yeah.
Netflix is paying for him to travel around the world and eat the best food.
Yeah.
That's my preface.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't find him that, I don't really know the word for it. His mannerisms kind of wind me up. You know what I mean? I do the faces, and everyone says my mannerisms exactly the same. I get it, but watch him, and he's a bit of a whammer. Lovely guy, really wholesome, just like you said. Bit of a whammer.
Yeah,
I understand
why that, because I have friends who are like, I've had friends round, and I'm like, we've got to watch Feed Phil, and they're like, this guy's a dweeb.
I can't watch him.
I'm like, leave him alone.
The dancing in front of the fountains and stuff. I've got the English cringe thing, so
I know.
But like, in terms of what he's doing, he's absolutely smashing it.
Keep doing what you're doing. Just for the
proof. Keep living my dream life. I'm just jealous, but his mannerisms do. You know,
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go through quickly what restaurants he went to?
Yeah, let's do that. Actually, give us some structure,
and then we can debate whether he's missed anything. So the episode, if you haven't watched it, sorry, spoiler alert. Pause episode. This episode, go watch it. And you're back. Thank you. And also
reassess. You call yourselves a foodie.
You haven't watched
Somebody Feed Phil.
Exactly.
I only watched it last night because Stubbs told me.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you told me as well. So it starts off at Burj Khalifa, at the world's tallest, highest restaurant at Atmosphere.
Yeah.
To have, and I think, okay, afterwards, I want to preface this. I think the way they structured the episode in terms of the perception of what Dubai is, everyone goes into what a perception of Dubai is, and then it leans into that at the start, which is good. When it came on, I was like, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I hope you're not just going to go to all the...
Yeah.
But me knowing Feed Phil, like I know him.
Well, your boy.
He's my boy. I was like, no, there's more to this. I know how this film is. I know how they film this. There's more to this, but I know why they've done this.
Yeah.
It's a hook. So he has the world's most expensive burger. There's a little wholesome moment with it. The burger falls on the floor.
Accidentally falls on the floor.
Hilarious. I'm in bits. I'm like, feed me more. I paused it, rewind, watch it again. Oh, this is great content.
He dropped the burger. Exactly. What are the chances?
Oh, and his face is like,
he's like, ooh.
Lovely guy.
I will agree with you. Like, in every single video film that I've seen about Dubai, especially in the food scene, it's all the gold burgers and the bougie. And it just winds me up about Dubai because it's a completely different subculture for people who live here. that no video or no film ever gets right, and it really winds me up. So when I saw him start off and he's eating that gold burger in the Burj Khalifa, I was like,
again,
here we go again. Yeah, exactly. And then he just smashed
flips it.
Oh my God.
Where do we go? O'Fally Brothers, where you at? He's there.
See, it was good. It took me from Burj Khalifa, but he didn't go all the way to like a Nustadi. It kind of kept us up there, and it was really good to see him cover O'Fally, because O'Fally, it came in with a bang a couple of years
Mina's
ago.
Mina's 50, number one restaurant.
We discussed that the other episode, but
justified.
It's a world-class restaurant. It's fantastic. I've never, ever had a bad meal in there. For him to sit down and literally sample everything that they gave him.
Exactly. I actually quite find it interesting that the other two brothers are more patisserie chefs.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know. So I know O'Fally Brothers in terms of the concept and what the restaurant, but I actually didn't know. It was quite nice actually for me to kind of like, oh, actually the two of them are the patisserie chef, and the other one is kind of the.
And it was like that sibling dynamic as well, them kind of bouncing off each other. And you're right, like the brothers tend to be a little bit more in the background, and Mohammed is like the face of the restaurant and stuff. But we got to see Mohammed's like signature dishes, got to see him like crafting them in real time. Obviously, he tasted them. them, but I mean, like, we all do that same reaction.
Yeah.
And then the patisserie, the desserts, he went through how many?
Yeah, he went through all of them essentially. Like, they just chopped them up and just kept into it. And they were like on some like dessert brunch or something. Yeah. It was like endless.
And it was funny, you know, like he obviously tries the burger in it.
Yes, yeah, he does try the burger. Yeah.
What did we rate the number one burger in Dubai? Yeah, exactly. O'Fally, and then he comes in, he says it's the best one he's had in the world.
Yeah, he was he was not saying that for the camera. He's my boy. I know when he says stuff to, he was like, honestly, that was one of the best burgers he's ever had. So if you want the best burger in the world, it's here in Dubai.
Yeah.
So you've got the best burger in the world, and you've got the best duck chef in the world.
Best napkin. Best steamed vegetables.
Dubai's mad. Dubai keeps living. So I think that was a really nice segment on the show. O'Fally Brothers, I think he did it incredibly well justice.
Because it was want to showcase the talent and the caliber that Dubai has. And they done it perfectly by highlighting one of the best restaurants without being its super pretentious restaurant. They could have gone to the Royal Atlantis and had mixed vegetables for 160 dirham, but they didn't. They were like, we're going to go to O'Fally because it's got the credibility. Loved it.
I think that's what it is. So they've gone for pretentious, which they lean into, set the scene in Dubai. And then they've gone to really credible
quality,
amazing chefs. And then they take it another step. Well, the next step they go into is actually they go into more the heart of Dubai, the old part of Dubai.
Yeah.
And he meets up with a travel vlogger called Drew Brinsky.
Yeah,
have you ever watched any of his content?
I haven't watched his content.
His content is actually really good. He's traveled every single country in the world, which is not many people on this planet could say. I've gone to every single country in the world, whether it be North Korea or Antarctica or any kind of harder countries to kind of go into. And plus, once you go into certain countries, other countries don't like the fact that you've been to that country.
Yeah,
so they're kind of like. So for him to go to every single country, I think he's... you know what his favourite cuisine is as well?
What?
Iranian.
He said favourite country, Iran.
Exactly. Favourite country, Iran.
We need to go there. Honestly, Iran, if you're listening, let me in and out of the country. I really want to go.
Exactly. So he started...
What I would say for that, I really love the fact that he went into Old Town, and I love the Drew... Is Drew?
Yeah,
Drew and his wife. Like really like wholesome, like bounce off each other, good like energy. I would have liked to seen a local, I'm not saying me, I would have liked to seen a local guide do that part. Like Payman, you've got Payman who was in the video later, but then I suppose he was doing the Ramadan part.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen another local guy.
Fair, yeah.
Not
fair.
Me. No, could have been me, but
no, it definitely would have been me. Yeah, so wait, so he goes to Nihal's restaurant in Old Dubai. He has paratha.
I've not had that. I've never been to Nihal's. I've never even heard of it.
I never heard of it. Have you had a paratha before?
I've had a paratha.
I'm sure you've had a paratha before. Yeah. Parathas are just delicious.
One thing I did get quite a few responses from on the old social, people saying that he should have covered Ustadi during that section. I mean, if you were to think Old Town traditional restaurant that's been here for years and you haven't been to Ustadi, like it was a bit of a statement. I don't know if it was a statement. I can't imagine they would have missed that.
No, I think maybe they did film it, because obviously when these shows they're filmed, and they probably do go to other restaurants as well, but it depends what makes the edits.
Maybe it didn't make the cut.
The cut, yeah. What makes the flow, and then you have to make kind of harder decisions depending on what works. So and then he goes on to the Arabian Tea House, which
is synonymous. Been there,
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic food.
Yeah, bread, tikka limoni, kebab. Yeah. Really, really good.
So he goes from, obviously, like I said, pretentious to really amazing quality, good chefs. Then he goes into like the old times, so a bit more of the heart of, because he talks about how the population is so diverse.
Yes.
Said, like 80-something% is actually, you know, expats.
Yeah.
Frankly. So that's when he kind of talks about that, which I think is good. And then he goes into more the Arabian style.
Yes.
So starts off with the Arabian tea house, and then he goes into the desert to try essentially what is Bedouin food. So he has...
what did he have on the Bedouin food?
Lamb madfouf. Madfoun. Lamb madfoun.
I thought that was quite good. I mean, yeah, the falcon had to be featured in the movie. Yeah. And it was, I thought the guy had a really nice vibe, the other guy. His voice was quite so soothing.
He was like chill the whole time.
So chilled. Yeah, like, yeah. I could sit there and just listen to him telling these stories in the desert around the campfire. Yeah, exactly. Like, whoever you are, reach out to me. I want to come do a spy.
Yeah, exactly. That food looked incredible as well.
The food looked good. But yeah, his voice was so soothing. Do audiobooks, sleep stories.
Yeah, with the falcon on his arm. Exactly. And then he goes to one of our favourite restaurants, Beit Mariam.
Yeah, which I'm going to say...
I teared up at that point.
I teared up.
Did you?
I think, honestly...
Come on. It's okay.
Honestly, that for me was the highlight of the show.
Yes, it was.
And
well,
I don't even think he was doing it for the cameras.
No. I don't think he does that kind of stuff for the camera. So they have Kibir Nahir. I think that's how you pronounce it. Kibir Nahir. Which is essentially raw meat.
Yes.
Mixed with spices. I think it's made with
sumac and stuff. Sumac.
I think it's bulgur wheat, or I don't know exactly what it is. But she makes it.
Salam
makes it, and her daughter's there.
Mada, yeah.
And she talks about how it's obviously from
Palestine.
Her mother. Now, I don't know why, if you know why, but Feed Phil, at the end of every show from day one, season one, he gets on a Skype call with his mum and dad.
Okay, yeah.
That's how every episode ends. It's a Skype call with mum and dad. And then throughout the seasons, his mum passes away. They don't make a thing about it. They just, you expect him to go on Skype.
Yeah.
And it's just his dad.
Yeah.
And you're like,
was that his dad that was on there?
No. So this is the thing. So that's happened, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously she's talking about, every time I eat the dish, it reminds me of my mother.
Yeah.
And then when he eats it and he talks about how he gets teleported, not to say that he's teleported out of Dubai, just like how food can be such a visceral reaction in terms of a moment in time and what it means to you. And he literally had a proper moment where he was like, he didn't speak and he was just enjoying and savoring that moment. And then he talks about how, and she talks about her mother. And I think that was kind of a...
I think as well, he alluded to it earlier in the episode, his religion.
Yes.
His religion as well. So I imagine he probably has nostalgic memories of food similar, because he's obviously from a similar region. I thought they handled that very, very delicately.
Yes.
Obviously, Salam is a star. She always lets anyone in her house.
Yes.
So that was really good to see. But it was such a heartfelt moment. I feel like we've all had that moment when we go into Beit Mariam, especially if you meet Salam and you sit down and you have the food. It tastes homemade. It tastes like you're in... like your grandmother's cooking for you. It's just such a lovely, like, homely environment.
Wholesome, so
wholesome. I think he just absolutely nailed that. And I was like,
he nailed that without saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know what? Because eventually, you know, it kind of looks like he takes that long pause a little bit longer. I was like, is he playing up for the cameras? But I think, like you said, he was just having that moment.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, okay, you might be stupid and make bird faces, but like, you've now got your credibility. That I'm fully in on you. And then he barely annoyed me after that.
Yeah. So no, I was barely, because all the tears were down my eyes. I was watching, I was like, I'm not crying. But yeah, anyway, wonderful moment. I think, like you said, I think it's a highlight of the show.
Yeah.
From that, he goes to ski Dubai, bit of fun, plays around with some kids in the snow.
Yeah.
Take that sentence as you will.
That was a bit weird.
And then this one...
they're trying to make it more lighthearted, obviously.
All right, I see. But then this one threw me off guard. I don't know why it did, but he talks about, you know, when you go to cities, you could do food tours.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of Frying Pan Adventures.
Really?
Well, you know why? It's because I have never thought about searching for a food tour in the city I'm in.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite interesting, actually. I was thinking that any place I go, and we talk about this, how we're like foodies, anywhere we go around the world, we travel for food tour, and the food is like the kind of number one kind of journey for us.
Yeah.
How we plan the day. And I look for food tours. But then I thought, thinking about when I saw that, I was like, oh, you know what? I never actually thought about doing a food tour in Dubai.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know
from,
about...
Arva from Frying Pan Adventures. She's been doing this for absolute years. Like, she is
Arva Ahmed.
Yeah, yeah. She's fantastic. I've met her at a couple of the foodie groups.
Yeah.
Really, really nice woman. Like, super down to earth. And I think she'd done a great job of highlighting the older side of Dubai and the traditional kind of like Emirati style cooking. Yeah,
so they go to, they've got the Doughy one. Yeah, the Ragag.
Ragag.
So they're in the Al Ras neighborhood. Yes. So people want to go try it. Southern Iranian food. Yeah. Ragag bread. Essentially that very thin.
Saying that though, didn't they put chips Oman in it? So it's not really Iranian, is it?
Parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
The one of the Ragag.
It's chips Oman in Dakous, wasn't it? Or
yeah, I don't know exactly. I can't remember what was at the topic.
No, the Dakous, the hot sauce was on the bakery one afterwards. Yes.
Yeah. That's when they had za'atar and cheese.
Yeah.
Which I prefer za'atar and lebleh, if I'm honest. I fizz off that. I can eat that all day. And then she adds the hot sauce.
You know what? I kind of looked at it two ways. Like, I think chips Oman and Dakous are synonymous with Dubai food. So you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
I just worry about how people on an international stage are going to perceive Emirati cuisine. And like when they come here, they're like, what? It's going to be crushed up chips and hot sauce.
I know what you mean.
But like that aside, I thought covering that old side of Dubai, the traditional dishes, it really did work. And she's like, she's a pro. She's done this many times.
Fair play to her. I'd actually go on their tours.
Yeah. Shout out. Anyone's thinking about doing a food tour, like Frying Pan Adventures, if you haven't heard of them already. Yeah. Like,
and they do a variety of different, it's not just one tour, there's different tours. Like,
They're literally the OGs.
And then they finish off with camel chocolate. Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Take that chocolate. And then the show finishes off on the kind of crescendo of the opulence of what Dubai is, and it goes to Asano. Asiano, Michelin star restaurant, chef. I'm going to butcher your name. Apologies.
Gregoire Berger,
French.
Yep.
And then that restaurant is obviously the ultimate in terms of a dining experience. You're not just there to order off a menu. You go through a culinary journey, which I think it definitely heavily lies on seafood.
Yeah.
Considering the setting you are in front of the kind of aquarium. So, and I actually really enjoyed it. I think the chef came across really well.
Oh, he came across fantastically.
I like the way he talks about, you know, it's essentially magic what he makes.
Yeah.
And every little dish was like, you know, there's a little experience. That candle thing was sick.
Yeah, the candle was sick.
That
really
was
good.
Sick. I was like, that's clever. I love that. There's a little magic to it. That's what I mean.
I worry whether seeing it on that show is going to remove some of the experience if you then go. Potentially. Like, as you kind of know,
I think the candle one, and then
the one where he puts his hand in the box as well.
Yeah,
like,
and the salt.
Only because I'm a cynic and I love to
sing. Yeah, you are British.
This is one thing that annoyed me. Like, Gregoire says, he's like, you know, they're talking about the aquarium instead of the fish. And he's like, yeah, but it's annoying because we're trying to get people to focus on the food experience and everyone just keeps looking at the fish.
Yeah.
And as he's saying that, he's like, look at that fish! Yeah, the fish is back! And I was like, mate, read the room. Like,
we're eating that, your mother.
Oh, yeah, making jokes about that. Now you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're I know. I know. Yeah, that's like, humor. I mean, actually, the only thing feedback on.
Mm.
A negative feedback.
Netflix, listen up. Yeah. Your boy Taz has got
something. Well, no, it's not even that. It's more, I think, however they produce a show. Twice, I think, this show, he mentioned about, they're having wine, and he's like, oh, and remember, this is non-alcoholic wine because it's a Muslim country. And I'm like, I think he mentioned it twice throughout the show.
They've been told to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. Yeah. So, but I was like, for me, I'm just like, that just annoyed me. It's like, yes, you are a Muslim country. It doesn't mean that you can't have a great... You made it like this country's dry and you can't have alcohol here, and it kind of reiterates the fact that you're Muslim, you can't drink. And that's like, there's a balance to this country. It's like, it's tolerant to it. But he made out that you just couldn't get alcohol here.
And I completely agree with that point, because the thing that annoys me is like, there's people back in the UK, I still see, like my friends at home, oh, you can't drink in Dubai. Like, there's still that perception by a lot of people internationally that Dubai, you can't drink, and we all know you can drink. And it's like, that probably would have been the stage to put it on, be like, look, you can drink in Dubai, actually. Like, you're on Netflix, it's a huge television show.
Yeah.
We can drink, and we drink in the appropriate places. I think it would have just, like, in terms of putting Dubai on a global stage, would have made it a lot more people be like, oh, actually, we will go try it. Because I still think people have still got brainwashing that you can't have any drink.
That's my only negative comment.
Come on, we were so close.
Yeah, so close. That was my only negative comment. I was like, well, you don't need to say that. And then I think, well, actually, they didn't wrap up. They wrapped up with Oceano, but I think before he did
the Ramadan
iftar.
Yeah, the iftar thing. I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was the perfect way to do it. He's out on the streets. He's eating with like
the community.
The community.
Yeah.
It was really
Drew.
It was really organic. Yeah.
And they had the payment.
Payment's great. Like, he obviously he He really let them know, like, more about the culture and the story behind it.
Trevor Noah got a little appearance in there as well. He did. Right at the end.
Trevor Noah?
Trevor Noah.
Trevor James.
Trevor James. Yeah. Food Ranger.
I literally saw Food Ranger just in the background. He's like...
And I was like, that's a Food Ranger. You know that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio? He was like... Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's there it. Is. There he is. I was like, oh, Trevor, I love you, no, Trevor.
He's great.
But yeah, so it finished. And it's quite finished, obviously, because Ramadan's now.
Yeah.
But what we'd like to hear from you guys, obviously, if you're adhering to Ramadan, you know... What I don't know what I'm trying to say is, like, from the audience, I'd like to know what Ramadan iftar means for you. Is it mainly going out and breaking iftar for us, like what we would do, or is it more home cooked food for you?
I worry that from the outside perception, I worry that iftar is going the same way as Ramadan as a whole. As in, when we first came to Dubai, Ramadan was really, really strict. You had the boards up. You weren't allowed any food or drink.
Yeah.
And then now, look at it, you've got brunches that are still going on the weekend and things like that. Yeah. I'm worried that iftar's now just become a massive pig out fest.
Yeah.
You know, where people are going to buffets and just stuffing their faces every single night, which I feel like it's losing the... I'm losing the history. It's losing the tradition. Obviously, we don't practice fasting or Ramadan. So, you know, we're not the people to say this. But I think we've got guests coming on next week who might be able to shed some light on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know your thoughts. Like, drop us a message. Is, you know, what are your thoughts on the iftar scene in Dubai? Is it appropriate? Or is it just becoming a massive, basically like brunches now, aren't they?
Exactly.
Buffet brunches.
I think from a Western, but I think the restaurants are trying to leverage on that, like, iftar, indulge.
Yeah.
But yeah, and obviously it's, you know, it's a different story from any other people.
And also, we want to know your best iftar recommendations. Yeah. Like, you know, I feel like you and I should go and hit some up.
Yeah. I love doing iftar with some of the guys
when
I go down, but it's not exactly a pig out fest, but I enjoy the experience of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I think that's our time. I think our lovely producer's thing. Come on, I've got to go home.
I thought we'd done that in good time, didn't we?
We rattled that. But anyway, thank you so much for listening again, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. We are here every single week.
Grinding.
I'm grinding.
These microphones.
Fun is grinding.
Can you go hard work on, like, Yasmin and the rest of all the editing?
All we ask in repayment is just hop on our little socials. Yeah, give a little follow.
Come on.
I think we're at nearly 200 followers.
Yeah, come on.
We're living, baby.
Drop us a follow. Drop us a subscribe on YouTube.
Go
remember to click the notification bell.
Yep.
But yeah, all huge thanks from me for listening. Thanks very much, guys. See you next
Good
episode.
Good night. Bye.
Savage Appetites.